If I'm in the company of the Lord, I'm in good company. I got a good friend of mine, by the name of James Deesman. He's about my age and everything, and here a few years ago, Brother James broke his wrist. He's a cowboy. And he was roping a calf, and he jumped off the horse and ran down there, and of course, something happened just wrong, and he jammed into the dirt and broke his wrist. So anyway, he was in excruciating pain. He goes to the doctor, and they x-ray it and check him, tell him it's broken. He says, okay, now that I know what's wrong with it, he said, I'm going to have a man of faith pray for me tomorrow at church Sunday. And so he wouldn't let him do anything to his wrist. So Sunday morning, whenever I came in from Bible study, I'd teaching the Bible study at the Baptist church on Sunday morning years ago. And as I walked in the back door, James was sitting with his wife on the very back row. And I always came in right at the end of the time for Sunday school because I always stayed the latest. You know, you just never can get through in an hour in a Sunday school class. You know, that's just not enough time. So anyway, I took every minute of it, and usually maybe a minute or two more. And I walked in, and James run out there and grabbed me, and he said, Thurman, I want you to pray for me. I broke my wrist yesterday. I said, well, okay, let's go down to the front and we'll pray for you. He said, no, there's too much unbelief in this place. Now, have you ever been a member of a church where there was any unbelief? I'm telling you, I have. So he said, let's go back into the library. I said, well, okay. So we went back into the library and I said, James, you know you have to believe. Did the Lord say, only believe, and you shall see the glory of God? Is that what he said? Only believe. Well, then what's our problem? If God says, only believe, and you shall see the glory of God, we must not believe very much. You know that? We really do not believe very much. So anyway, I went back there, and when I told him that, you have to believe. He said, Thurman, you pray for me, and I believe it's done now in the name of Jesus. I said, does your hand hurt? He said, oh, it's terrible pain. So I reached up and took his hand, and when I grabbed it with one hand, I just said, be healed. Did the Lord tell us to lay hands on the sick and they'd get well?
Yes, he did.
Did he really say that?
Yes.
So I held one hand, held his broken hand with one of my hands, and I took the other one, and I said, be healed in the name of Jesus. Bam! Just as hard as I could hit it with the other hand. Somebody says, oh my gosh, you would never have passed your pastoral care class in college. And that's probably true. He wouldn't have passed his either, would he? Hey, I hit that wrist just as hard as I could hit it, and knocked it out of my hand. And he come up out there and he said, praise God, it was working perfect. His hand was instantly totally healed. So this man was in, many years later, he was down here in a coffee shop, you know, having coffee one morning, and there was several Church of Christ men sitting there, and when he walked in having his coffee, he's sitting at the table next to them, and they are talking about this radical Thurman Scrivener and what they're going to have to do with him. And James says, you guys know Thurman Scrivener? They said, yes, he is the most awesome radical man we ever believe. We're going to have to do something to stop him from preaching the Word of God. James says, you see that wrist? They said, yes, he said, that radical Thurman Scrivener prayed for that wrist years ago, and God instantly healed it. He said, all I got to say about this radical Thurman Scrivener, we need 1,000 radical Thurman Scriveners in Justin. Now then, I think we need a bunch of radicals all over the country, don't you? You need to become one of those radicals. Somebody said, well, but God's given you a special gift. Let me tell you, God, he looks at people that's willing to serve him. That's what he looks at. Are you willing to serve me? Are you going to do what I say? Are you going to obey me? If you will, I'm going to bless you. Now then, all of you men that have ever had anybody working for you or you've worked for somebody else, if you have, if you're running a company or a business or you're a contractor or whatever you might have to be, whatever you are, are you going to hire the men that's always on time? That stays late? that gets the job done, whenever the boss calls and said, I know it's 10 minutes to 5, and I know you got someplace to go, and I know it's Friday night, but I got this project that I've got to get out today, and I know this is going to take at least 4 or 5 hours. Would you mind doing it? And the guy says, I'm sorry, I don't work overtime on Friday. I'm not going to do it. You'll have to find somebody else. Have you ever had people tell you those kind of things? Yeah. Or if the guy says, boss, if you need it done, I'll stay as long as it takes. Whatever it takes, I will be here to do it. And he stays over, and it takes him all night. The project is bigger than he thought, but he got it accomplished. Next week, you call him and say, tell you what I'm going to do. You've done such a good job for me last Friday night. You got me out of a bind. You really took care of me. I tell you what I'm going to do this week. I'm just going to give you the week off with double pay. Now then, have you ever seen anybody do anything like that? Yeah, I have too. I've had that happen to me. And when I was working, that's the way I work for the employer that I work for. I remember whenever the executive vice president of engineering came down from Washington, and he walked up to me and he said, Thurman, get your notepad. I said, okay. We walked around, and he said, I want you to do this and this and this and this. I'm writing all this down. And I said, how much money do I have? And then he said, when you get this done, I want you to add 20,000 square feet on the back of this building. And I said, okay. I said, how much time do I have to do this? He says, I want to be into this facility by the beginning of July 1. Well, this was May the 15th. Some of y'all, that's kind of what I did. I said, you can't be serious. He said, I'm serious. I said, how much money do I have to do a project like this? He said, we've got $1.1 million set aside for you to do this project. I said, okay. I will do the best I can. So whenever you have a massive project like that, as an engineer, project manager, I knew by myself what he had asked me to do was impossible. There was no way that I could get all the building permits together. My next question to him was before he left is, well, do you have all the drawings and specs? He said, I have one floor plan with me. One. And he said, surely by a couple more days they will have the drawings and the specs available, and I'll express mail them to you as soon as I get them. I needed 15 sets of those to go to DFW Airport to get the approval to start. And usually when you go over there, it takes anywhere from 6 to 12 weeks to get the drawings approved before you can start. It's not something just, you know, when you're going to do a project that massive, they don't just walk in and open them and look at them and stamp it and say, it's okay, you can go do it. No, they send each drawing out to each department, and each department goes through his section and looks to see if what you're going to build meets their criteria. So anyway, I come home knowing all this. I came home and got on my knees, and I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, you literally said, if I obey you and serve you, I could ask for anything, and you'll do it for me. Did he say that? So I believe with all my heart, you will make this project go for me. I said, now, Lord, I know that if this happens, it'll have to be you, because there ain't no way I can do this. This is not within my capacity as a human being to do in this period of time. I said, but Father, if you allow me to do this for you, I will always give you the praise and glory, and I'll never take any of the glory. I'll tell everybody, you did this for me. I thanked him for his answer, whatever it is, because I don't know what his will is in this case. But whichever way, I'm going to praise him and worship him. So the next morning, I get up early and go to DFW Airport, and at 7 o'clock, I'm standing out there in the front looking at this building, and an electrical truck pulls in with two electricians in it. I went over and I said, and who are you guys? They said, well, our boss told us early this morning that you needed an electrician to start some projects out here. I said, yes, that's true. I said, and your boss told you? He said, yes. I said, well, come in. Let me show you what to do. So they came in and I showed them electrical circuits and everything I wanted them to start on. So they started. So I thought, well, I better drive over to Al Magazine's office, the DFW Airport Planning and Zoning guy, and tell him what I'm up to. So I drive over there and I walk in and I say, Al, this is a little unusual, I know, but I have one set of drawing for this building over in the area where one of our buildings are. And I said, you know, I need to add on $20,000 and renovate the $25,000 that's there. And I said, I'm not going to have the specs and everything for two or three more days probably. But I said, you know, for me to get this done in the period of time that they want me to get it done in, I need approval to start now. I didn't tell him I'd already started. See, I already got the electricians going. I'm without any kind of permits. I'm already working. So he opens up that set of drawings, looks at it, and says, Thurman, you're a good guy, and your company is a good company. So he says, signed his name on it. He said, you got approval to get started. He said, go ahead and start. So this, as soon as you get the other drawings and specs, spec books, he said, bring them to me. I walked out of that office praising the Lord, knowing I had seen something I had never seen before in my life. I bet you if you were to tell the ex-director of Planning and Zoning, Al Magazine, that story today, he'd probably say, that didn't happen. I would never do such a thing as that. But he did do such a thing as that. And I started on the building, and I got the drawings in a few days, and we started on that project, and we finished the project. Actually, we finished the project 6 days early. I spent $1 million instead of $1.1 million. And every time the VP would come down, he would be awestruck at what I had done. And, of course, my reply was, well, I asked the Lord to help me, and he's the one that is running the show. He's the CEO, and, I mean, I'm just working for him. And he's the one running it. And they all think you're absolutely crazy. You can pray and ask God to help you. This is beyond the average vice president's ability to comprehend. They just don't live in the realm of faith that we live in, or as Christians. They heard there's a God, but they don't know Him. And so anyway, when I finished the project, I came in 6 days early. We actually moved into the building 6 days before July the 1st, and then we had the outside ground stuff to finish up, and we could do that without a problem. And then he called me. In fact, when he first called me at first, he said, Thurman, what have you got scheduled for?
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast in its entirety, titled Free Health Insurance, or you would like to have any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.